Become the Media Radio. Become the Media Radio is a one-hour program featuring edited segments of programs independently produced and aired on Free Radio Santa Cruz, an unlicensed micro-power radio station broadcasting for nearly a decade in Santa Cruz, California, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at 96.3 megahertz and streaming live at www.freakradio.org. On today's program, we'll feature spoken word from the group Story Expressions from the Media Watch show, as well as an interview with Bad Religion bassist Jay Bentley on the Great Leap Forward program. We'll also hear an interview from Old Lady Scar Arms with Noah Salama of the Palestinian Conflict Transformation Network, as well as music from local Santa Cruz artist Diane Patterson and a lot more. Please stay tuned. Become the Media Radio. Become the Media Radio.
Story Expressions actually began as part of my thesis. I'm a community studies major up at UCSC, and it started as part of my thesis project, and basically it was inspired by Cornerstone Theater's methodology in Los Angeles. And they're basically taking people's personal stories and putting them into performance and having members of the communities that they're working with perform their own stories. It was a very powerful and wonderful experience. So I wanted to implement something like that here in Santa Cruz, especially among teens, because that was so important for me when I was younger and still today, really expressing myself through different artistic mediums, creative writing, improvisation, music, dance, movement. And so that's basically what Story Expressions is about.
My name is Jessica, and I just wanted to talk a little bit about why I'm involved in this and what keeps me sharing my stories. I have been writing for a long time, and I feel that my writing and my art is what's been saving me from going into nothing, from disappearing in society, and I love to support other people sharing their stories, and I think it's really important that we all speak up for what we have to say, what we're about, because we're not represented in history. And I'll be reading a poem called Jessica. She is inside me, buried under others' burden, suffocating in the failure to heal others and in turn, self. She is scared and unhappy, a child seeing the world's pain, not knowing that she can't carry it all on her back. She tries time and time again to give her love and light to the pain, to her mother, her brother, her father, her sisters, but no matter how beautiful she is, no matter how sweet and kind, she fails to heal them. She doesn't understand why she is so sad. All she wants is to be happy and for others to be happy too. I found her today, that little girl, crying deep within my belly as I looked at my reflection in the mirror. 21 years old, unsure what I'm doing, suddenly aware I was raped when I was 15 and again last year, confused as to why I didn't know my boundaries earlier. Looking back on my childhood, such sensitivity made rocks of shoulders, others the rulers against which I measured my own emotions. My wings that have not yet grown from the knots from my assumed responsibility and resistance to taking care of myself first. That little girl's words, my words, echo deep within years of tears, pools spilling out being wrenched from the piece of earth that I need to care for. My mother, the earth, is sad to see me cry, but she holds me, knowing that I must heal myself. She laughs with me as I fire my inner critic. I quit. Shit, what a lousy job to not even get paid for. Imagine, if I only had myself to make happy. The whole world opens and I am the little girl, the human butterfly fluttering from flower to flower, landing on the earth that supports me and not the other way around. With roots growing from my feet, long rainbow channels of light, I don't even have to work to be bathed in her glow. It fills me as I let go. Rivers pour from my eyes, stream down my cheeks, flow into my hair. My roots quake, belly gurgles, able to move a little from the release. This is going to take some time, I say, as I hold my hand, myself as a little girl.
I love you so much, she says,
between tears and breath. I take my hands from my womb and put them together over my heart. I know we are one again.
Every day we have a story to tell, and we have our own stories. We can't let the media and the corporations tell our stories for us, because we have to tell our own stories, because we need each other's stories. We need them to survive. It's really a matter of survival. It's not about entertainment and being passive and just trying to, you know, see if something's going to make us entertained. I think these are vital stories that we need to survive as a species.
Also like to get our contact information out there so people can get in touch with us who want to get involved. And we also wanted to make it a point to say that there are many levels you can be involved. You can contribute your story in a written form or come to our story circles and share them orally. You can perform them yourself. Any way you feel you fit in, we really want to involve people.
And if people want to get in touch with the Story Expressions, you can always email MediaWatch at mwatch@cruiseio.com. It's just the letter M and then the word watch at cruiseio.com. So I can forward it on to Alexandra and some of the other members of the group.
Hi, I'm Cecile, and I'm also a community studies major. And building from the experience that I gained working in Montreal in two community-based theaters, the reason I'm here at Story Expression is that I feel that our personal stories, our personal memories, and collective memories can really contribute to building a better world and working towards this revolution that is so necessary, that we create art that we can constantly feel and learn from. Thank you. I am not what you think I am. Start with a border town in Mazatlan. Add 4 pounds of parental dependence, a cup of hope, a quart of want for a better life. Stir in a giant fence, about 1,000 border guards, a missing of a green card. Mix all ingredients together in one large vegetable field in southern Cali, and chill at 32 degrees early in the morning until late in the afternoon. Me llamo Ednareli Chávez, y soy la hija de dos lenguas, dos culturas, y de dos sistemas que me opriman. No soy solamente red, white, and blue, pero red, green, yellow, and true. My name has too many letters and rolled R's for the teacher to pronounce even an ounce of my fame, so I wait patiently till my name gets called. And then the massacre will begin, and I will say it's okay and to call me Elizabeth, because it sounds more nice in American. Eso lugar, en estas tierras nuevas me intimidan. I'm not sure where I fit in, where all my pride, where all my language and my days of work have amounted to. I am castigated for my small brown body sweating under the sun while the prophets rip the pages out of my empty notebooks. And on the days I do get to fill those empty pages, I find my head hurts and nobody will pay attention to me. Fase partida de gente pobre, de gente desesperados por nuestra situación en las escuelas. Restless thoughts sitting in the school chair and desk, thinking I'm dumb when I'm not, all my potentials twisted in knots. And when the teacher tries to tame my wild tongue and warns me that it should be ripped out of my mouth for fear of contaminating the classroom with mis malas palabras, palabras de los indígenas. So inside the locked file cabinets and under the piles of dusty report cards, my Spanish gets erased and replaced, so I move to another place in the classroom. What the hell am I doing here? I am their linguistic nightmare. I am too much mezclaje of the underclass and working class, a confused identity, an outspoken presentation of resistance to the 35-hour weeks, 5 days a week and 9 months a year. One size fits all. That which is not accepted gets bust down the hall. So I'm rooted in my attitude and my poise to close shop of the helping hands of the afternoon mentors. So I take La 14 mission. I walk through La Zona, over the leftover piles of drunkenness and joblessness, whiffs of a day-old reality following me up the block, and into my home, a different world than the one I left behind. This is where I live. This is where I am, Ednareli, the inner city projects, the barrios, the ghettos, the dwellings left dormant. And somehow coming up inside of this, enduring sometimes what life has worse to offer. So I hate my skin because in this tight-knit cultural radius I call life, I am all that I see. Images reminding me of my brown skin. It's brown skin, olive skin, silky skin, golden skin.
Hi, I'm Nicole. The reason why I'm getting involved in doing this is I've been sitting on my poetry and been sitting on all these talents and stuff and doing nothing about it and kind of expecting other people to respect me for them when they don't really even know they're there. It was an opportunity that was presented to me, and I'm just really trying to get myself out there, and I really hope that I can help other people develop their poetry and their expression. And I've been coming to this with an open mind. I've been doing stuff that I'm not used to, and it's been really great. It's been a learning experience, and I like to perform.
Nicole's playing the guitar, and I'm doing the words. Jessica. ¿Quiénes somos? La flor, como nosotros, brilla en el sol. Somos mariposas, transformadas por la guerra, que es nuestra gloria, si luchamos por el amor. Aquí estoy frente a balance, coyol tototol, pájaro quechol, desde un tiempo sin tiempo. Amigos nuestros, corazones floridos, la flor y el canto es para todos, es nosotros. Y que estos cantos aún son prestados, que florecen en la sangre del pueblo, en los que luchan por la vida. El sol, el corazón, flor y canto. ¿Quiénes somos?
We started out getting our stories out with creative writing exercises. That was the main thing. And I noticed that a lot of teens that came in weren't sure what their story is or even were aware that they had a story, which made it reassured that the work I was pursuing was really important, that everyone has a story to share, and it's vital that we share our stories. So we worked, Jessica had a lot of creative writing exercises that she brought, and we worked on pulling these stories out for a good part of the workshop. In fact, only recently have we started doing improv with our personal stories and getting the stories up on their feet using music, movement, improv to help us put together a script. And it's still very flexible right now. Basically, we took our stories and made a script, collaborating, adding, so that we had something to then perform, and using different props and music and voice to intertwine and weave these stories together and find a common theme, because a lot of our stories had very similar themes, and really that was what was intertwining our stories, and we did this through various sorts of creative mediums. So it was only in the last couple of weeks that we've gotten the stories up on their feet, and we're pretty much ready to perform now.
And so again, that's Story Expressions that is being led by Jessica and Alexandra and Nicole and Cecile. You can get more information if you want to contact MediaWatch at mwatch@cruzio.com. It's just the letter M and then the word watch at cruzio.com.
Oh, just remember peace, my friend. till we remember we are a wild. While we're out there driving this new century on its way, and we're out there striving in Babylon every day. Seeds of the new world now, and we're evolving, changing our minds, and we know how. We're eliminating racism, war, and poverty, because we're creating human rights and dignity. So just remember peace, my friend. Cannot come till we remember we are one. Cannot come till we remember we are one, one, one. Just remember peace, my friend. Cannot come till we remember we are one. Cannot come till we remember we are one. Can only come through justice. Can only come through equality. Always exists in our hearts. In our minds. Just remember peace, my friend. I cannot come till we remember we are one. I cannot come till we remember we are one, one, one. Yeah, remember peace, my friend. I cannot come till we remember we are one. I cannot come till we remember we are one. Yeah, we're out there driving this new century on it. Striving in Babylon every day, and then we're planting the seeds of the new world now, and we're evolving, changing our minds, and we know how. We're eliminating racism, war, and poverty. Human rights and dignity. But just remember peace, peace, my friend. I cannot come till we remember we are one. I cannot come till we remember we are one, one, one. Yeah, remember peace, my friend. I cannot come till we remember we are one. I cannot come till we remember we are one. Can only come through justice. Can only come through equality. Always exists in our hearts. Oh, always exists in our minds. Oh, peace. Always exists in our hearts. Oh, peace. Always exists in our minds. Oh, peace. Always exists in our hearts. Oh, peace.
Cruz. Today I'm going to be interviewing Noah Salama. He is the director of the Center for Conflict Resolution and Reconciliation in Bethlehem. He's also the co-founder of the Center, Israeli-Palestinian Conflict Transformation Network. He is the co-founder with Dr. Eddie Kaufman, who is an Israeli, and director of the Truman Institute of the Hebrew University. Together they founded. Hello, Noah. Are you there?
Yes.
All right. Good to have you with me today. So, Noah, why don't we begin with just, if you can tell us a little bit about your background.
I'm a Palestinian, as you may know, and I am one of the person who lived the Palestinian conflict. My age is 50 years, and I'm a refugee from a village called Zakaria, and actually I lived in the Hesha refugee camp, and I was actually one of the Palestinian resistance movement, and I spent 15 years in Israeli prison. And after I released in 1985, I decided to work in peace and social work and to find another way to live together. And I got my master's degree in international peace studies from Notre Dame University, Kroc Institute. And also I have done part from my PhD in George Mason University in Virginia. And actually, I work for peace now more than 20 years, and hoping to have a better life in Palestine and Israel.
Why don't we talk about the Center for Conflict Resolution and Reconciliation. When did you start the center, and what kind of work has the center been doing?
Actually, I started to work in peace even before I founded this center, the Center for Conflict Resolution and Reconciliation. But also, I think in the Center for Conflict Resolution and Reconciliation, since 5 years, we are trying to work in two tracks. The first track is to spread the education of nonviolence and democracy and human rights and, you know, peace internal inside the Palestinian community. And the second track is to work in dialogue and reconciliation and understanding and solving the conflict between the Palestinians and Israelis.
Can you give me a specific example of a project that the center has engaged in?
One example that I have done, me and Dr. Eddie Kaufman, together Israelis, we held a course in co-facilitation for Palestinians and Israelis, specialists or professionals who are working in facilitation and in dialogue and conflict resolution from the two sides. Training them how can they run the dialogue or the conflict resolution, and to help people to reconcile and understand each other. This course expanded for 100 hours of training, meetings, and expressing ideas and having skills how they can work together. This is one project. The other project I worked in it actually with Israeli Center for Negotiation, which is in Haifa, and the director is called Yuna Shamir. We have done workshops for Palestinians and Israelis security who are working together. How can they work together instead of, you know, conflicting and making conflict between each other? How can they cooperate with each other? Because the idea is, how can you bring two sides, two people who are in hostility, working together without preparing them how to have some skills to change their attitudes towards each other, to talk about their culture, to know other culture, and to change attitudes towards each other. So this is a project that we try to help Palestinians and Israelis security people who are working together. That's before the last intifada, which is, you know, before 2 years.
How many people are involved? How many Israelis and how many Palestinians?
How many people, no one can know exactly how many people involved in that. But I can say that tens of thousands of people are involved in that. But also, the most more important than that, we have hundreds of thousands of people who are silent, who no one reach them, who no, they didn't meet the other side before. They do not know how to know a lot about the other side. And this is if we will be able to bring those silent people who are ignored in the conflict, who have no voices, no one reach them, who they have no knowledge about the other side. I think this is the most important. That's our effort, is to reach as many people as we can, to introduce as many people as we can to each other, and to understand the other culture, the other people. That's our goal. And I think we have actually many, many organizations in the two sides who are working in this field. And I can say that it's thousands of people who are working in this field.
I'm speaking with Noah Salama. He is the founder, the director of the Center for Conflict Resolution and Reconciliation in Bethlehem. He's also co-founder of the Israeli-Palestinian Conflict Transformation Network, co-founder with Dr. Eddie Kaufman, an Israeli who's the director of the Truman Institute of the Hebrew University. There's kind of a depiction here in the United States of Palestinians as terrorists, all of them. They all want to destroy. They all want to destroy the state of Israel. They all want to throw the Jews into the sea. Now, this is kind of a common theme that's depicted here. Is there really a great majority of Palestinians who support suicide bombings, who support that as a solution? Or do you think that actually the majority of Palestinians would prefer a peaceful route to an end to the conflict?
I understand your point, and I know that I lived in the United States. I studied in the United States. And I think one of our problem Palestinians that we are a small people, weak people. We couldn't introduce ourselves in a good way since 1948, which means that more than 50 years in the conflict, that many people do not know what is the history of the conflict and why those people are using violence. And this is one of our problems. I don't justify violence, and of course I am against any kind of violence. But it's very important for the people to know that the suicide bombers begin in 1994 or something like that. The conflict began 50 years ago, and we didn't have suicide bombers. And as a result, from that the world ignore the Palestinian question and ignore their problem that they have been living in refugee camps, and they didn't solve the problem. And the Palestinians felt that we're ignored and no one looked to them and tried to help them to solve the problem. And I'm sorry to say that the Israelis have a strong support from the Jewish community in the world, the United States, and which enables them actually to explain themselves better than us. I think this is the situation. Of course, this reacts from many, from Palestinians. But in the same time, if you look to the conflict in general, in the two sides, we have people who are using violence in different ways. Israelis have at least tanks, have airplanes. They are, in one airplane attack, they can kill 20 or more people. But the world didn't, they look to them as an army. But in the Palestinian side, people are despaired and they can't react in the same force. So they are trying to find different way, those people who are despair. I'm not justifying that, and I hope that I can persuade all Palestinians to use nonviolence, which is more effective in my opinion. But this is the situation. It is not that God creates some people good and some people are bad. God creates all of us as a human being, and the situation creates the reaction from the two sides. But I see how people are despair, and in the life they do not have hope. And if people lose hope, I don't expect what they will react. And that's exactly what I see. So I don't think that this is a good thing. We have, I think, to give some Palestinians some hope, and after them, that asking them to stop that or to create a situation. And I think there are many people in the Palestinian, like other people in the world, people who are working for peace, people who are praying, believers, people in different way. And we are like other people. We have people who are very fundamental, people in the middle, people are working for peace, And it's the same in Israeli. We have the settlers who are, you know, shooting any Palestinians without even thinking. And they maybe they stay in Israel prison just for 2 months because they kill Palestinians. In the same time, any Israeli Palestinian injure any Israeli or hurt an Israeli has to spend 20 years in prison or whatever. So I think to look to the situation in general, not to be just selective, to select an event and focus on it. I know that we don't have the power to explain this thing to all the American people, but we are trying to do our effort. As peace activists, as peace people, we are trying to work inside our community to create the values of love and nonviolence and peace, and to try to create hope and to tell them the world maybe can listen to us more when we talk like this. And even our values as people who are believers do not allow us to help others, and try to focus on that and try to do something in that. And on the other side, I expect and hope from the world to give those people some hope. The powers like Americans and Europeans at least to stop the curfew or the closure which is on Palestinians for 2 years. We are living under closure. Some people do not know what is a closure. It means that I can't go to any Palestinian village freely, which is 20 kilometers from my home. So people have to look to the whole picture. I don't think that we are terrorists. We are like you, human beings. We have some people who are doing good things. We have some people who are doing bad things, like you and any other people in the world. And still hope and determined to work for peace forever and against any kind of violence from anyone, from any side. And I ask justice for everyone and peace for everyone. That's what I hope.
Thanks so much for joining me today, Noah. I really appreciated your time.
Thank you very much.
Bak şu hali hallere, halimize. Neydik, ne olduk Egri babam, hey. Nereden geldik, nereye gidiyoruz? Hedef yok, kişilik yok ediyoruz. Evvel zaman içinde şanla başla çıktık yola. Doğudan batıya meydan okuduk dünyaya. Dur, düşün bir bakın, bu bir işte sonumuz pek yakın. Nerede görülmüş, kardeş kardeşe ölmüş. İdeoloji değişik diye meclisin baş tacı konusu. Yırtma çizim bilmem kaç santime. Saygıdeğer milletvekili gelince Amerika'ya. Zavallıçının vergisi harcamış çıkmalarda. Türk'üm, doğruyum, çalışkanım. Cebi delik sayın başkanım. Halen birinci dünya savaşından kalma ölümcül bir hastayım. Hip-hop'ta bir numara, ben sultana bu işte ustayım. Yunus Emre kalksa bak, Mevlana kalksa bak, Mandela kalksa bak, Malcolm X kalksa bak, Atatürk kalksa bak, Martin Luther kalksa bak, Mahatma kalksa bak, Humanizm uyan da bak. Zaman çıkmış Orta Asya'dan, başlamışız göçe, motiflerle dolu ezgiler. ellerle süslü. Ne oldu zengin kültürümüze, hamburgeri benimseyip lahmacunu taşıdık. Batilaya tık takıp arabeski tasladık. Ama arabeski yaşıyor, sonra nasıl oldu bu iş be şaşıyoruz. Allah Allah diyerek el açıyoruz göklere, yemin ve hile. Kardeş gibi el ele, kimdir kimin eli, kimdir kimin cebinde, acaba dış güçlerin elinde. Zavallı bir kukla mıyız, fakat değilim, biz bu kadar mı aptalız? Medeniyet, medeniyet diye diye şaştık, bu ölümcül hastalığa batı diye diye bulaştık. Film kopmuş çoktan, boşver diye baka kaldık, ama hey bak biz ona da alıştık. Yunus Emre Kaptabak, Mevlana Kaptabak, Mandela Kaptabak,
program is The Great Leap Forward. My name is John Malkin. You can listen to The Great Leap Forward every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock right here at 96.3 or on the World Wide Web at www.freakradio.org. Tonight you'll hear Jay Bentley, bassist for the band Bad Religion. This interview is from May 2003. When they returned to Santa Cruz on their recent tour. Bad Religion has put out quite a few albums over the past 20 years. An interesting thing, there's a lot of interesting things about the band. One is that they have a research fund. They accept applications for university or high school students in the United States who are interested in scientific research. It says on their website, Bad Religion has spent almost two decades questioning and challenging the tacit dogmatic structure of our society. Our methods have been non-traditional in that we have used the avenues of pop culture and the media. But since we have always promoted questioning instead of professing to know all the answers, our process has been fundamentally scientific. Through our works, we have advanced many testable hypotheses about the world we live in. The research fund was created to allow students to pursue field-oriented investigations in cultural or natural science. It is an award with an educational focus and is meant to promote self-motivated discovery, practice of the scientific method, and experience in scientific writing. All of the band members have traveled throughout the world and have a strong interest in understanding of science. Greg Graffin, the lead singer, has a bachelor's degree in anthropology and a master of science degree in geology from UCLA. He is currently working on his thesis at Cornell University. You can check out Bad Religion's website at www.badreligion.com. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, and here is a interview with Jay Bentley, the bassist for the band Bad Religion.
Bad Religion has been around for 23 years?
Yeah, 23. You believe it?
Well, and since you were here last, a lot has happened. I mean, in the world, in terms of huge events affecting a lot of people, September 11th, 2001, affected a lot of people and led to a lot of things happening. The United States ended up bombing Afghanistan somehow as a result of that. And there's been another war on Iraq. What's been your attitude towards these things and your feelings about these?
Well, I think as far as the general populace is concerned, these are all new events. But I'm pretty sure these things have been going on for 500 years. You know, the the attack on the World Trade Center of September 11th was only different from the Oklahoma City bombings in that it wasn't an American driving a Ryder truck. So, I mean, let's be realistic about it. It wasn't like a new phenomenon. America was just living in a bubble of we've never been attacked other than Pearl Harbor. The war on Afghanistan was a continuation of the 1990-91 war on Iraq. They just sent over 320,000 troops, did nothing, basically, sniped some shit and blew up some caves, and then promptly turned the troops around and marched them straight into Iraq. And that was so predictable, anyone could have seen that coming. And now all of a sudden they're saying, well, U.S. is eyeing Syria. Really? Let's march the guys over to Syria. So, I mean, it's almost predictable, this entire thing. It's just control of the Middle East, and that's been an agenda since Reagan. And these are all the same people, Wolfowitz, Rumsfeld, all of them are all, you know, the same people that were involved from 85 onward. Mm-hmm. Nothing new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's true. It is nothing new.
Yeah. And you know, when people act surprised that that there are so many angry people in a certain region of the world, angry at Americans, and they can't figure out why. Well, how about a 12-year-old embargo that's killed 300,000 kids because they can't get medicine? Oh, well, we gave them medicine. Saddam just kept it. Okay, well, why was he in power? Oh, well, we gave him all of his money and weapons to fight Iran, or, you know, like, and that's how it's always been. Like, who's fighting the Soviets now? Okay, well, let's give them all their stuff. Let's give Osama all these weapons because he's the leader of the rebellion against the Soviets. Oh, who's fighting Iran? Because we don't like the Ayatollah Khomeini. Oh, let's give all the money to this Saddam guy. He seems okay. 12 years later, give us our ball back. We don't want you playing with it anymore.
Yeah, he's okay as long as he's playing by the rules of the United States.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that's right now. You know what? I'll tell you what. This is the biggest change. I think that the concept of the United States, outside of the United States, was that America is kind of a bully. Well, now it's just a fact. That's the biggest change. Now we are the fucking assholes that everyone thought we were. And so foreign travel is now going to be really interesting. And you're going to see a lot of backpacks with Canadian flags on them. I'm Canadian. Yeah, okay, sure you are, buddy.
Yeah,
that's the biggest change. Because the world now just thinks we're just crap. And you know what? We deserve that. Because as far as I remember, everyone said, we don't want the war. And then once the war started, everyone just kind of rolled over. Well, I guess there's nothing we can do about it. Well, really? Okay. If that's the way everybody feels, but I also know that 51% of the people still feel that Saddam Hussein was the guy flying the plane into the World Trade Center. 51%. No. Duh. So, you know, you start realizing really quickly that the 600 million people that make all of this up are just kind of happy not knowing. You know, ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
And we're proving that every day.
Yeah. It's amazing the power of propaganda in that way. And we're all ending up paying for all of this destruction and killing.
Well, and we'll, the sad part is that we will for a long time to come. You know, the retributions from this will be long-lasting. This is not something that's going to go away. And I've been kind of running this thing. The joke that I've been running, and I don't mean it as a joke, but it's something that I'm fairly determined about, which was, when George Bush declared war on terror, I said, I won't believe it until they roll the tanks and the battleships into Northern Ireland. When they do that, then I'll go, wow, there really is a war on terror. But right now, it just looks like a war on the Middle East.
Yeah.
Once again, it's much like the Oklahoma City bombing. It's like, well, there was no real faction. Well, there's no real faction here. There's just a bunch of pissed off people. You know, why don't you go ask them why they're mad? You know, it's honestly the equivalent of just walking up to a wasp nest and whacking it with a baseball bat because you don't want it there.
And the snowball effect is that people and countries who want to defend themselves against the United States are going to build nuclear weapons and biological weapons.
North Korea is proving that. I mean, obviously, they have one missile. It's not, you know, it's not the end of everything. Like, oh my God, they have nuclear weapons. They have one missile that's unproven. It wouldn't make it across the Pacific. It's the equivalent of a bottle rocket. But they're on their way. You know, right, and they are, and they're on their way because they're afraid of us. Doesn't that say anything to anybody? So instead of us saying, no, no, no, we're really not bullies, it's like, oh yeah, well, we're going to come to you next. Here you go. I mean, this is exactly what we got out of with the Cold War, because we kind of said, look, this is stupid. Why have this kind of mentality? But, you know, I'm disappointed, to say the very least, in my government's behavior. Absolutely.
What can you tell me about Bad Religion these days and the music you're making? Is there anything new, anything changing? How has this tour been going?
The tour's great. We were supposed to be in the studio. We kind of had planned that we were going to finish the Warped Tour last year and do a couple of other things and then get into the studio early this year. But Brett had prior commitments to working with Rancid on their record, producing it, and that was supposed to be done in like 6 weeks, and it's 5 months. They've been behind bad. And Brett's freaking, going, I'm going to miss my street date. So he's had no time to write and no time to really concentrate on Bad Religion. Graffin has decided that this is the year he's actually going to get his PhD instead of being a candidate, a lifelong candidate. He has an August 16th date for delivery of his thesis. And so he's just asked for the summer off so that he can finish. Okay, fine, that's cool. And obviously if anything comes along that's something that we have to do, sure, we'll go do it. But the year is kind of slowing down. So we said, well, let's do the record in September or October, provided we have material. And everyone's back to writing. So that's why this tour came up, because we had nothing going on, and we are still a working band. And that was something that everybody felt like, well, we can't just sit around for a year without playing, without doing anything, and then just put out a record and expect everyone to just pick up where they left off. That's a bad thing to do. That's a Guns N' Roses thing to do, which we should have really called this tour Chinese Democracy. You snooze, you lose, you too. I thought about that when we were out on the road. I go, man, I missed the opportunity on that.
Oh, my. I want to thank you for talking to me again. It's nice to see you again.
I like talking to you about all these things because you always ask the right questions.
Madness in the world today. Mass paranoia is a mode, not a malady.
Yeah, I'd like to watch 1,000 cable channels, but there's nothing
at my high speed connections monitored daily by the Pentagon.
These things are seldom what they seem. I'm not inclined to enjoy.
Paralyzed.
You've been listening to Become the Media Radio, a program featuring the independent media of Free Radio Santa Cruz in Santa Cruz, California. Streaming live at www.freakradio.org. We heard from The Great Leap Forward, aired on Wednesdays at 7 p.m., interviewing Jay Bentley, bassist for Bad Religion. We also heard a track from Sultana called Humanism, off her Double Moon Records release. We heard from the program Cut Your Hair and Get a Job, aired on Sundays from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., interviewing Noah Salama from Palestinian-Israeli Transformation Conflict Network. And local musician Diane Patterson with a new song called Remember We Are One. And finally, we heard from the Media Watch program, aired on Wednesdays, 10 a.m. to 12 a.m., sharing some spoken word with the Story Expressions group. Become the Media Radio is a pilot program, and if everything goes right, can be downloaded for MP3 format for free from our website at www.freakradio.org. Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3 is a not-for-profit, out-of-our-own-pocket radio station and desperately in need of donations at this time of crisis. In June 2003, the FCC granted a license to a Christian radio corporation, Air One, on 96.3 megahertz in the Monterey Bay. They currently have a 10-watt repeater station with a directional antenna pointed directly across the water and into Santa Cruz. We've lost one half of our listeners on the east side of Santa Cruz, and I personally feel that this is a deliberate attempt to censor Free Radio Santa Cruz. So now, more than ever, we need your help to keep our pirate ship afloat and to build our own repeater station, or possibly move frequencies, or possibly move location, to get our Eastside listeners back. Please visit our website. So send those checks to Free Radio Santa Cruz, or FRSC, P.O. Box 7507, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. That's Free Radio Santa Cruz, P.O. Box 7507, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. You can visit our website at www.freakradio.org and PayPal if you'd like to do that, with a safe and secure PayPal transaction. I've been your host, Skidmark Bob, on this first broadcast of the BTMR program. We're going to leave you with a track by NoFX titled Regaining Unconsciousness off of their War on Errorism 2003 Fat Records release. But first, a speech and commentary by our president-select, Commander-in-Chief George W. Bush, when he visited the United Defense Corporation in San Jose, California, as brought to us by the Department of Corrections. Thanks for listening, and remember, you really can become the media.
Oh, when the Yanks go marching in, Lord, I want to be in that number. When the Yanks go marching in.
Thank you all very much. Thank you all very much. I'm honored to be here with the good folks at United Defense. I'm here to thank you for your contribution for the atrocious crimes they committed on the Iraqi people. The technologies and products developed here at United Defense have made our military second to none. Truth of the matter is, the greatest strength of our country is the hateful ideologies oftentimes found in the great military might of America. And as importantly, help destroy innocent life. And we are proud of those who have contributed, just like the people right here at United Defense have done. New technologies allow us to redefine terror on our terms. You all are doing some amazing stuff here. I'm really proud. Proud of the workers, proud of the engineers, proud of the people who are keeping this country on the cutting edge. And we're still on the hunt.
Big and mud.